This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country. Like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Hi, I'm Tanya Ransom, creator and executive producer of Nightlight, a horror podcast featuring creepy tales written and performed by Black creatives from all over the world. This month, we have 4 flash fiction stories for you. This week, 2 stories of refusing to let go. But before we get to unconditional love, I want to say thanks to our newest patron, Nelly. You too can enjoy ad-free episodes and help us pay a living wage to everyone who works to bring these stories to you. We rely on listeners like you to keep this podcast going, so please visit nightlightpod.com/legion to join the Nightlight Legion and get a shout out on the podcast, plus occasional bonus content. You can also make a one-time donation to support us at nightlightpod.com/donate. And don't forget, Nightlight merch is available and you can support us by sporting Nightlight branded gear. Just go to merch.nightlightpod.com to get your t-shirts, hoodies, notebooks, and more. Now sit back, turn out the lights, and enjoy Mrs. Bones. Written by Overcomer Imateya and narrated by me, Tanya Ransom. This is the day you're going to die, Mrs. Bones. My eyes widen and take on a spectral shade of shock. This is not Jimmy. It can't be. It's the same Disney shirt, the same yellow track shoes, and the same long blonde hair zigzagging to the shoulders. But this fierce-looking kid with murderous eyes and a baritone voice? No, he's not my Jimmy. Or is he? Jimmy had always been a cute, charming kid. Everyone loved him. The neighbors, his school teachers, and even my 70-year-old mother-in-law who seemed to hate everyone else. Jimmy was a sweet boy, the type who would give you flowers when you came back from work, the type who would offer to massage your toes when you had a long day. He was a cheerful little boy, who wouldn't harm an ant. Until his 9th birthday. I cannot remember all the details, but I do remember Emily, my neighbor's daughter. One minute, she was licking ice cream off her fingers, and the next minute, she was flying across the staircase and landing on the floor. I remembered the ferried silence, the chilled air, the columns of blood feuds bruising the tiles, and I remember that at the top of the staircase stood a boy with blue, blazing eyes. Jimmy. Maybe he didn't push her. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe I'm hiding from the truth. Emily didn't die, thank God. She only sustained injuries that healed within a month. What disturbed me was Sage's testimony. Emily, Sage, and Jimmy were childhood friends. After Emily was rushed to the hospital by my husband, Sage turned to me and whispered, "He pushed her. I saw it." "Who?" "Jimmy." My eyebrows shot up. "Come on, Sage. Why would he do that?" "He has been planning it with Mr. Bones." "Oh, okay. Interesting. And who is Mr. Bones?" "The man in your basement. He and Jimmy plan mischief all the time." Her eyes narrowed. You're the next target, ma'am. I shuddered. Sage was 7, but she wasn't stupid. Still, I found her words unnerving because Jimmy was just a regular cool kid, and he never made mention of any Mr. Bones to me. However, the name sounded oddly familiar. Didn't it? So, Sage, have you ever seen this Mr. Bones?
No, ma'am, but Jimmy says he's tall and skinny and has one tooth.
Another shudder. The air sizzled, and I could feel fear guzzling from my insides. Skinny and has one tooth is a description I know too well. That day, I checked my basement thoroughly, upturning and throwing things around. The basement was only a few meters wide, so if there was any human or non-human there, I would know. But I found nothing out of the usual. My husband returned later to give the medical report on Emily. She was responding to treatment, but would have to spend 2 days at the hospital for total recovery. What disturbed me was Jimmy's words that night. I didn't push her. I saved her. Next time, she won't be so lucky. I raised an eyebrow in confusion, but he wasn't done. If you don't confess to Dad in 7 days, your case will be worse than hers. That's the order from Mr. Bones. Okay, that was frightening. I swallowed enough saliva to kill the squeak in my voice, but it didn't work. And who is Mr. Bones? Your friend, and he's pretty serious. I see death all over you already. Mr. Bones belongs to the past. I mean, 150 years ago. And no, I'm not comfortable sharing secrets with you. The next couple of days came with even weirder events. Jimmy was acting stranger than usual. His school was on holiday, so he spent his morning scribbling furiously at his drawing board. When I checked the drawings, they were accurate pictures of Mr. Bones. One of them even had the street where Mr. Bones lived, just that this time, it looked more modern. The gravel path was gone, blown out, and adorned with an overpass. The concrete was fresh and unblemished. There was a garden tipping over with roses and thorns, and amid the crisscross plants, Mr. Bones and I held hands. In the afternoons, Jimmy would sit on the porch absentmindedly, sun-gazing like someone who was learning the culture of light. Every night, loud chants bellowed out of Jimmy's room. Chants of 100 frenzied humans. When I asked my husband what we should do about it, he replied that he didn't understand what I meant. Jimmy was fine, his moods were normal, and there were no chants at night. Perhaps I just needed some rest. Take some aspirin, dear. Chapter closed. Well, today, I opened the basement to find stale breadcrumbs, a half bottle of Diet Coke, and a pair of brown, cracked lips smiling at me.
Oh, sweetheart. It's been quite a while. Do you want to say hello to your son?
I turned around wildly to see Jimmy holding an axe.
This is the day you're going to die, Mrs. Bones.
My body trembled violently, and my breaths came out in fearful gushes.
No, don't call me that, Jimmy.
I swung to face the green skeleton in front of me. Bones, we're divorced, and you know it. We're divorced!
Not anymore, sweetheart.
And now for our second story. I'm Down Here, by Bibi Osha, narrated by Sheree Stewart.
It's been 472 days since Malika has gone downstairs. 496 since her grandmother died on them. Her family didn't believe her when she, in a fit of struggling breaths and incoherent babbling words, insisted that it was something on the stairs that killed the old woman. Of course they dismissed her words. Unlike her, they didn't believe in the supernatural, only things they could see with their own eyes, like the coroner's report that listed the cause of death as accidental, an unfortunate slip down the stairs. But some pretty piece of legal paper doesn't change what really happened. It doesn't change the fact that something is on the stairs. She has a running theory that whatever it is was there long before she ever moved into the house. Or at the very least, it appeared shortly after. Either way, she knows it's there. Feels its presence by the pressure it applies to the air. Though she's certain that part is unintentional. It tries to be quiet after all. Though the stairs sometimes creak and whine under its weight. Not only does Malika hear it, she smells it too. It's a sickly sweet stench, the same one that had permeated throughout the house at 8:35 in the morning when she first twisted the key into the lock and pushed the freshly painted azure-colored door open. That same smell had then wafted up 27 hours and 13 minutes after Gram-Gram went silent. An overactive imagination. That's what everyone tells her, parroting a therapist that wanted to link her burgeoning paranoia to a non-existent childhood trauma. You were a loner growing up, right? Yes. It says here you're a graphic designer. Okay. And I have to pay my bills somehow. You know, artists tend to have very creative imaginations. I hear that it's possible to tap into those creative wells in times of hardship and trauma. Did you ever have an imaginary friend growing up? That had been 322 days ago. She hadn't gone back since. There was enough in her life to cry over without including the belittlement and gaslighting from the people who were supposed to help her. Besides, it wasn't her mind that had something wrong with it, but her body. It had been that way for years, thanks to her own limbs betraying her to the degree that, more times than she cared to admit, she'd spent too many days out of the month being nothing more than a prisoner in her own bed. That's why Gram-Gram had come over in the first place, because she knew what it was like to wake up in the morning too stiff and too tired to do more than just sit there and breathe. She knew how that loss of independence turned you into a pariah, as family and friends grew resentful, while their eyes silently said, "You are not trying hard enough." And then she fell. It was an accident. You know she had a bad leg. Malika wanted to scream at them, because that wasn't what happened. Gram-Gram was killed, pushed by the thing on the stairs that has been watching her from below for months now. It's still there, too. She feels its eyes bore into her on the days she actually opens her bedroom door to greet the delivery boy who has become her lifeline. Angelo. He's her age, she thinks, possibly a bit older, with his husky voice and an unexplained willingness to help her out and use the spare keys she'd thrown out of the window after seeing his car pull up with the groceries she'd ordered. He'd been try number 7. The irony wasn't lost on Malika, but she took after her witchy grandmother. Even still, she likes the idea that she's found her own guardian angel. She knows better, though. Angelo isn't keeping her safe, but for the meantime, he hasn't abandoned her. Unlike her own family, who, after 266 days of her refusing to come down the stairs of her own house, had declared that enough was enough. They'd even thrown in an ultimatum to add insult to injury. Get help, or figure out how to get on without us. Malika, naturally, had opted for the latter. She'd always been on her own anyways. A trait her parents were always keen to remind her was unbecoming for a woman her age. However, despite everything, she finds some comfort in knowing that Angelo is there. Sure, it's more than likely that he likes her generous tips more than he likes her, but at least he doesn't think she's crazy. He tells her he believes her, in the same breath he used to say he's not worried about the thing in her house and on her stairs. Strangely enough, the thing seemingly shares the same sentiment, allowing Angelo to come and go as he pleases, its cloying scent hardly discernible in the man's presence. "I'm not its type," Angelo finally says on one of the days he lingers on the stairs, grinning at her with his perfectly white teeth that are a bit more pointed than the last time they spoke. And he's right. He's too distinctly male. While Malika had been Gram-Gram's physical twin, just 43 years younger. Gram-Gram, who had called up to her in pain as Malika lay helpless, contorted in bed from a bad spell. "This is the reason that she's worn a pair of headphones for the last 459 days. They hug her ears comfortably, even in the morning when it's relatively safe, the eyes tracking her movements with less ferocity. But at night, with her grandmother long dead and Angelo already gone, Malika can only hold her breath and wait, like she's doing now. Except this time she can't move. Another spell has decided to seize her. Outside of her erratic heartbeat, syncing with the tempo of the music blaring in her ears, she can't hear anything, but she knows the thing is on the steps. Its scent creeps under the gap at the bottom of her door, burning her nostrils. And then her muscles contract, her head jerks to the left with enough force to unseat her headphones. The sharp creaking of the steps being pressed down upon by unseen feet cuts through the silence. The house reacts accordingly, groaning in distress as if mirroring her panic. And then she hears it. Those three terrible words calling up to her in that unholy voice, a mockery of her grandmother's panic-stricken wail. I'm down here.
Thanks again to our patrons for supporting this podcast. Because of your support, listeners around the world get creepy tales in their ears every other week. If you want to join the Nightlight Legion to support us, go to nightlightpod.com/legion. You can also make a one-time donation via PayPal at nightlightpod.com/donate. If you're unable to support us financially, word of mouth is the next best way to help. Written reviews help us the most, so be sure to leave a few kind words on your podcast platform of choice. You can also give us a shout-out on your favorite social media at nightlightpod, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ransompodcasts, or rate us if you're in a hurry. Audio production for this episode by Davis Walden. Join us next time, and be sure to leave your nightlight on. You never know who might be waiting for you in the dark.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.